It's good to be in the house of the Lord today, and we're just so thankful that God has given us the opportunity to be here. I think there should be another slide after that. I don't know if it's, there it is. That's right. I must not have deleted all the old ones. But we're in a new series. We're going back into the Kingdom Treasure series that I had started before Easter. And we're looking at things like we did in week one, where we were looking at the Gospels that had multiple stories that are told, that God told, Jesus told, to give clarity to the kind of kingdom that God was bringing into the world through his son Jesus. And so each story that we are going to tell, the one that we told last week, or the last time, a couple weeks ago, was about the kingdom of God and it being like a treasure that is buried in the field. And when the man found it, he sold everything he had to have it. And so the kingdom of God is worth any price. It's worth any cost. And it's a sacrifice that we must make in order to experience a full life. You will never know the full life that God had planned for you unless you accept this treasure that God wants to reveal in your life. And so, recently, Greta loves to go to the Mexican restaurant down here. I call it El Rincon. That's not what it is. It's El Reyes, Texas. See, I don't even know. I eat there every Sunday. I have no idea what it is. But I eat tacos there. That's pretty much what I get. Either that or a taco salad. She gets some other things that have all kinds of sizzling and noises that come off of it. But I ordered my tacos, and I sat down with her. And I happened to notice on the table there was this new bottle of hot sauce. Now, those of you that know me know I don't really, I'm not a big spicy food person. I like sort of sweet stuff or, you know, but taco sauce, right? You get that Ortega taco sauce. I've put that on my tacos before and it's been fine. Well, I took this bottle and I was getting ready to just pour it on those tacos, right? And Greta's like, you probably better take a minute and see, because that's probably pretty hot, you know, it's spicy. And so just as I was about to open the lid and apply it to the tacos, Greta gave me a stern warning and said, be careful, a little of that goes a long way. But I wasn't afraid. I was going to have my Ortega taco sauce, which it wasn't Ortega taco sauce, and I laughed off her warning and I applied it generously. I took a bite and within a few seconds I knew that I had made a big mistake. You see, that hot sauce was potent enough that all I needed was just a little bit to enhance the flavor. And actually, rather than enhance the flavor, I had lit a bonfire on my tongue. And so three glasses of sweet tea and a few tears shed later, we were back to normal. But the truth is that something, just because something is small, doesn't mean that it can't make a big difference. And this is actually a kingdom principle that is found all over the Bible. In the hands of God, even the smallest and the most insignificant thing can have a major impact. In the book of Matthew, Jesus is once again, he's teaching a group of people about one of his favorite topics. And he uses these stories to reveal the amazing power of God's kingdom in the world. And so Matthew chapter 13, verse 33, the Bible says this. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. Yeast into 60 pounds of flour. Now, the yeast that I've seen is those little packets, right? Fleischmann's yeast or whatever. And 60 pounds of flour, that's a lot of flour in there. How much yeast that would take. Just a little bit, evidently. A little bit is what Jesus said that she had used for 60 pounds. I think we all recognize that that's a lot. Not even in such a large amount of flour, the amount of yeast would be added is tiny in comparison. And that's because yeast is a fermenting agent that is added to help the dough increase and grow. And a small bit of yeast spreads throughout the dough too much, and the dough won't rise correctly. A little bit goes a long way. Now, you all know I'm not the greatest cook in the world, so my grandmother was teaching me once how to make bread, and I used all three packets of Jesus uses this story of yeast to teach a very important aspect of God's kingdom. The kingdom often starts small and insignificant, and then it grows. And God gives a promise to change the world through one man named Abraham and his family. And the Savior of the universe was a baby born in a stinky stable. It wasn't in some swanky hotel. The gospel begins with a ragtag group of disciples and now has gone from global into a worldwide phenomenon. A little can become a lot when God is involved. I once met for breakfast with a young man, Dustin, who had just graduated from high school. And I met him in our church's after school program when he was in the fourth grade. I was his mentor, and we met weekly to do schoolwork and share stories and encourage each other, sort of like a big brother type program. And after meeting together for weeks, our conversation moved to matters of faith, and I had the privilege of introducing him to Jesus. And for years now, he has been faithful and walked with God. He's done the little things right and continued to grow. I remember when he was in high school that someone in the church wanted to help pay for his college. Somebody wanted to help him to be able to go on to get his degree. In fact, they wanted to pay for all of it. And so we met over at McDonald's, and we were having this breakfast over an egg McMuffin, or in my case, a sausage McMuffin, because I don't really care for egg. But he was having an egg McMuffin, I remember that. And he wept as I told him that God was providing for him to continue his education. And so what had begun as a weekly meeting at an after-school program had now become a massive kingdom blessing that played out over years of faithfulness. It is almost as if God wants to show off his power by working through the simple, the small, and the humble. You certainly find and can find the kingdom exploding onto the scene in the big and powerful ways in the Bible. Just read all the 66 books, and you'll see that more often than not, God grows things like yeast in a batch of dough. A little of God's Spirit grows in the hearts of his people, and that's how the world changes. This kingdom principle is put on display in a story about a little boy and a massive group of hungry people. You've heard this story before in John chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. The Bible says this. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. And then Jesus went up on a mountainside and he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. And when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he had already made up his mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" And Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. That doesn't count the women and children. 5,000 men. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. And he did the same with the fish. And when they had had all of them had had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." And so they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. And after the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who has come into the world." That section of scripture my grandmother used very frequently to remind me that I needed to eat leftovers. Greta, you never used that on me in all of our years of marriage. I'm thankful for that. But Grandma used it on me to remind me that you don't want to waste anything. Jesus told us that. Jesus Jesus had been traveling around. He'd been healing the sick and tending to those in need. And everywhere he goes, he's surrounded by a large number of people. They were all following him, looking to receive from him. They wanted something from him. They wanted part of his power. They wanted that feeling, that knowledge that they were cared for, that somebody gave attention to them, that their needs were being met. And he's surrounded by this large number of followers looking to receive from him as well this day. And the crowd is gathered, and Jesus is again healing when the hour turns late. It was dinner time. The people were hungry. There were 5,000 people plus to feed, and Jesus was looking to the disciples to feed them. Out in this desolate place in the middle of nowhere, all the disciples could gather together was 5 loaves of bread. Now, I don't know about you, but in my house, if you put, just say you had, there were 8 of us there, and you threw a plate on the middle of the table, what would have happened to that? It would have been a fight, wouldn't it? Can you imagine? 5,000 men, plus women and children, and you had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Oh, there's about to be a riot. He told everybody to sit in the grass, took the loaves and fish, and gave thanks, and the disciples distributed it to all who were seated. Not just a tiny bite, but enough for everyone to be filled. Not only that, but the disciples picked up baskets of leftovers. Everyone who was there was astonished and recognized him as a prophet who must have come from the kingdom of God. God's power makes all the difference. You know, God has a habit of taking a little and doing a lot. There's good news for you and me. Maybe today you feel like you don't have a lot to offer the world. And that is true. You don't have a lot on your own, but when you put your life into the hands of Jesus, you can accomplish great things. Maybe you wonder how God could work in your life when you've made so many mistakes. God loves a good comeback story. And there's nothing that you could have done that would keep him from working in you and through you. Nothing. There is nothing that is impossible for God. He cannot be contained. He cannot be thwarted. It cannot be stopped. And as Christians, we have to begin to believe that power is available to us. When we trust in Jesus, we will see miracles. Hear me. When we trust in Jesus, we will see miracles. There's a story told in the book Holy Sweat by Jim Hansel. And it talks about trust between a father and a son. One day, while a man and his son, Zach, were out in the country climbing around some cliff, the man was caught off guard. He heard a voice from above him yell, "Hey, Dad, catch me." He turned around to see Zach joyfully jumping off a rock straight at him. He had jumped and then yelled, "Hey, Dad," and the father became an instant circus act, catching him in midair. They both fell to the ground without incident. And for a moment after the man caught the boy, he could hardly talk. When he found his voice again, he gasped in exasperation, "Zach, can you give me one reason why you did that?" The boy responded with remarkable calmness, and he said, "Sure, because you're my dad." His whole assurance was based on the fact that his father was trustworthy. He could live life to the hilt because his father could be trusted. The kingdom of God is like yeast in that batch of dough. It's like a young boy's lunch that Jesus used to feed 5,000 plus people. And the key for every Christian is being able to trust that our Father God can do anything. When we trust God's ability to work in us and through us, when we trust in his ability to take a little make it a lot, then we can become much more eager to live in the kingdom of God with joy and excitement. Amen? You know, I found that I underestimate God. And we shouldn't do that. I found there are times in my life when I look at the circumstances and the situations around me, and I question whether God could really move in a powerful way with such limited resources. I'm afraid it has at times kept me from believing in God for great things a few times in my life. When I underestimate God, I miss what He can do in my life. When I underestimate God, I miss what He can do in the world around me. And too often, I'm looking for the big and the spectacular that I forget that God works in the simple and mundane as well. The Bible says it this way. He says, keep believing for big things, even before you see the big things. It's like an instruction that Paul gives in 1 Corinthians to those who were laboring for the kingdom of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, he says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Paul encourages those in the church to keep working. The struggle is real. He encourages us to keep working. Keep laboring. Never give up. It may look small now. Maybe the fruits that we're receiving, that we wanted to see this big miraculous turnout, maybe it's just small. Maybe it's almost non-existent. But God can take small things and turn it into something miraculous. It may look small now, but wait and see what God does with it. This is because God meets us in the mundane, the everyday. You know, it's get up, do this, do that, go to bed, start over again, right? Is that our life sometimes? Sometimes that's what our life feels like. It's just so mundane. But God is in the yeast that permeates the dough. That little pack that does how many pounds of flour? God is the little boy's lunch that feeds so many people. You and I can't fathom an idea where five loaves of bread and two fish would feed 5,000 men, can we? I read it in the Bible. I know it's there, but I can't understand how that happens. It's a God thing. Only God could do it. I don't know how that little pouch of yeast can make loaves and loaves and loaves and loaves of bread. I thought I needed a whole pouch, three of them. He meets us. He's the bread. And He's the wine that when we celebrate communion, that we can work miracles and have the forgiveness that we need to be forever forgiven. God's in the water when we come to baptism. And He meets us in the simple act of baptism. See, there's treasure here. If we have eyes to see it, we will see God move in powerful ways when we look for Him in the little things. What is one way this week that you can trust God to work in your life, even if it can be difficult? As we pray together, let us remember that God, a little God, can go a long way. Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank You for Your power. We thank You that You have miraculous power. We thank You for Your healing. We thank You for Your deliverance. We thank You for who You are. God, we pray that You would give us the faith that we need, the strength and the courage to rely on You, to see You in the mundane, in the daily activities of our lives. Lord, we pray that You would protect us. We trust that You would deliver us. God, we thank You for the miracles that You've allowed us to be a part of. Amen. As we stand to sing our invitation hymn, whiter than snow. If you don't know Christ, today is the day. Don't leave here without knowing who He is, knowing what the power is that He has in for His life and for you. It only takes a little bit. It only takes you giving God just a few moments of your time that He will turn that into something greater. Come forward. Let's talk about it. If you need prayer today, today is a good day to do that. Bring your burdens to God.